glad to be here tonight. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see some of you folks for the first time this week and some of you for the second time this week. And I hope that we just have a good time in the Lord. It's just been a blessing to me already to be here. I mean, I enjoy singing, but I also enjoy it when there's a bunch of people that are in the church behind me, because I'm always sitting up front, that are singing too. Sometimes you feel like you're carrying the whole load yourself. And I know Brother Tom probably feels like sometimes he's the only one singing, but I enjoyed listening to you folks sing tonight. I enjoyed the specials. And I really enjoyed seeing Mother and her children up there singing songs. You really don't know how much you miss that until it leaves your home. And it just leaves a big void. When Joanna left home, she took the piano with her, so we didn't have a piano in the house. But we got that thing back, and now Jennifer plays the piano, so we got the music back in there again. And there's something that, just listening to your kids. I have tapes at home where Joanna was playing the piano, Jesse was leading the singing, and Jeremy was doing the preaching. And they played church. I mean, that was a game they played. They played church. They even took up a make-believe offering and everything else. But I have that tape, and brother, sometimes I just put that thing on and listen to it, and it brings back some times in your life that once they're gone, they're just gone, and you miss them. But I really enjoy being here and seeing all these children running around and having a good time in church. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I mean, I come here to have a good time. I don't know about you. If we can, I tell my people, and I've told you folks this too, if we can't have a good time here, where are we going to have it? Where are you going to have it? If you can't have a good time right here, where are you going to have it? You're not going to go down to the bar and have it. You're not going to, I mean, you might go to a ball game and have a little bit of fun, but isn't it so temporary? I mean, it just... If your team doesn't win, it makes you feel empty anyway, right? You say, I wish I hadn't gone. They played lousy tonight. So if you can't have a good time here, where in the world are you going to have it? And I hope that you come in each night with a desire to enjoy the Lord. And then ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. What am I going to get out of this service tonight? Come in looking for something. A lot of people don't get anything because they don't look for anything when they come. And if you want something, then you have to do a little meditating upon what is it that I need? What is it that I want? What is it that needs to be done in my life? And then start praying. Start praying. You ought to pray every day for these services. Pray in the morning when you get up. If you don't know what else to pray for, say, God bless Brother McDowell. Help him out. The older I get, the more help I need. I told Brother Art 2 years ago, I fell backwards off a chair, banged my head on the floor, and about it knocked me. I was crazy. This knocked me cuckoo. I told Shirley today, we were in a store looking around at clocks. I said, get one of them cuckoo clocks. I said, it'll fit right in there at the house. And that thing knocked me cuckoo. And so it also has some carryover, produced some problems. Sometimes that neck swells up in the back, and when it does, it cuts off those blood vessels and those nerves. And sometimes I get up and I think, where am I at? And sometimes I wonder, what am I supposed to say next? And it's just a result of that thing that happened a couple years ago. So if you don't know what else to pray for, you pray for me. Ask God to help me out. Ask God to give me a message that will help you out. And then pray that when we come in here, God will meet with us. Because, if we are just doing everything under the energy of the flesh and in the energy of the flesh, then we just have religion. But what we need when we come in here is to meet with God. We need to come in here and know that God is present in this place. We need to come in here and know that God has manifested Himself and done something in this service that would have never been done if we had been anyplace else. And that's why you should honestly be able to come to church and say, this has been the right place for me to be, and I'm glad I was here. And I hope that you'll come each and every day. Pray for Brother Art. Pray for this man that's laying in the hospital, this Graham fellow that's in the hospital. Pray for the work and the ministries of this church that need prayer. It can't be done without prayer. And just pray. Pray in the morning when you get up. Pray at noon. Pray in the evening before you come. And if you'll spend some time praying, I guarantee you, you'll see the results of that prayer. You'll see the fruit of that prayer. Take your Bible tonight, if you would. Turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Tonight I want to say some things about power. And again, I'll say nothing new. These are things that I'm sure you've heard preachers preach on time and time again as they've come and stood in this pulpit. Brother Art has preached on this passage, I'm sure, many times in the years that he's been here. And I've heard men preach on these passages of Scripture. The reason I preach on it tonight is because that is a great need in the church. We have a need for power. And when you look at the book of Acts, yes, the book of Acts is a transitional book. Yes, the book of Acts is not a book that the church gets its doctrine out of, but it is a history of the Acts of the Apostles. But it is also a book of power. If you want to see the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you want to see how the power of the Holy Ghost works and operates, you spend some time reading the book of Acts, and you'll see how God influenced the early church and gave them power and enabled them to do what He commissioned them to do. And the same God that gave the apostles power in the early days of the church and those early Christians power is on the throne tonight, and He is still able to empower us now on the other end of the scale at the closing days of the church age. But we fail to sometimes get that power. We need the power of God. We're going to look at some things about power tonight. In Acts chapter 1, it says in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The disciples were interested in when the kingdom was going to be restored to Israel. Jesus was interested in them receiving the power that they needed to do the job that He had left them to do. Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven. Jesus is getting ready to go back to the Father and sit down on the right hand of the Father. Jesus is getting ready to enter into His intercessory ministry, and He has left a handful of men behind to carry on the work that needed to be done so that this world could hear the good news and the gospel about Him dying on the cross. And Jesus was interested in them understanding that for the job to get done, they would need to have power. No, the early church knew that and understood that, and they had power. They received that power. You and I, we're in the church tonight, and somehow we've let that slip from our grasp and from our vision. We still need power to get God's job done in these last days. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, I pray that, God, You'd help me to say the things that You once said. Lord, I cannot preach. God, I cannot pray. I cannot be a witness. I cannot do anything unless, Lord, you give me the ability. Unless, Lord, you empower me. And Father, I pray tonight that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. And God, give me the power that I need to proclaim this message to these people. And then, Lord, I pray that you would raise up people that have a desire to have the power of the Holy Spirit of God manifested in their life. Lord, help us not to come to the place where we're satisfied in just reading about it and hearing about it and knowing about it from other people's experiences. God, may we never be satisfied until we ourselves understand what it's like to be filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God to do the work that you want us to do. Now, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts. Father, you do a work that needs to be done. Lord, I do not know the needs of these people. I do not know what they've been through today, what they've been through this week, what they're going to face tomorrow. But, Lord, you know all about them. And, God, you know what they need tonight. And, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each heart that's here. If there's someone here, Lord, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Father, I pray that you'd put some convicting power upon them and show them that they're lost and they're on their way to a devil's hell, and they'll get there if they don't turn from their sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then, Lord, I pray that you would put in the heart of each and every child of God in this place tonight, whether they be a man or a woman, to desire to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Lord, just clear my mind and help me to say, help me to do the things that you want done here tonight. Father, we want to give you the honor and the glory for all that is done. And God, we ask that you would take charge of this service. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would manifest itself tonight. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It is within the realm of reality for every believer to live a life of power. And by living a life of power, having a life filled with victory. The promise was this: ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That's what Jesus told them. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You know, we're people that are dependent on power. Every single one of you people in here tonight, you depend on power for a lot of things in your life. We depend on electrical power. Without electrical power, we don't have heat in the winter. We don't have lights in the winter. We don't have hot water. We can't cook on a cook stove if it's an electric stove. Without that kind of power, that we are very dependent on electrical power in this age in which we live. We're dependent on mechanical power. We go out here tonight, we don't hook up the horse and buggy and ride to church in a buggy. We go out and get in our car and crank the key, and we're depending on the power of a battery to start that engine, and we're depending on the power of that engine to turn those wheels, and we're depending on that mechanical power to get us to where we want to go. We are people that are very dependent on power, and yet we are also people that in this last day are independent of the power of God. We think that somehow we don't need God's power. Listen, without the power of God in our lives, in our ministries, and in our churches, there is going to be no heat. I mean, the fire, the spiritual fire, is not going to be there. Without the power of God, there's not going to be any light. The spiritual light is going to grow very dim, and people are not going to see the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Without spiritual power in our midst, there is not going to be the activity that ought to be there. People coming, people hearing, people getting under conviction, people going out to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't have the power of God, then these things are going to be missing from our lives and from our church. You know, the old timers, they knew about power. There was a lot of things that the old time preacher didn't have. An old time preacher, he might not have had much of an education. The old time preacher, he might not have had all the material things that you and I possess. I'm sure those old circuit riding preachers, they didn't have three or four suits hanging in the closet and three or four different pairs of shoes that they could wear. As a matter of fact, when they got on the back of that horse, they packed up the clothes that were on their back, maybe another change of clothes. They had, as far as I know, two books, a Bible and a hymn book. And they were dependent on God to get everything they needed from those two books. Everything they needed to be able to go into a church or into a town and preach the gospel and see God do something. And brother, I'll tell you what, those were the days when the power of God fell upon people and people got saved and churches and Christians got revived and they blazed the trail of righteousness everywhere they went. Why? Because they understood about the power of God. You take men who shook this world for the Lord Jesus Christ, they understood the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what we understand today? We understand how to organize things. We understand how to display talent. We understand the power of personality and different personalities. We understand the power of positive thinking. We understand the power of having different programs. But brother, I'll tell you what, somewhere along the way, the church has become independent of the power of God, and it's reflected on a Wednesday night when people don't show up to pray. It's reflected in our own personal life when we don't spend any more than 15 minutes with God in our prayer closet. And brother, I'll tell you what, it shows up in our life. It shows up in our church. It shows up in this day and age. And we need the power of God. Men of old didn't debate about whether it was the baptism with the Spirit or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You know what they did? They tarried. And they prayed until they had the power of God upon their life. And they went out in the fullness of the presence of the Holy Spirit, with the anointing, with the unction of God upon them, and when they stood up and preached, people knew that they had been with God, and that is so much missing in this day and age in which we live. It was said that Moody was a man who had two women pray for him, and they would come to hear him preach, and after he would get done preaching, they would say, "Mr. Moody, we are praying that God would baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And he said, "Why don't you pray that the other people would be baptized? I have the Holy Spirit. Why don't you pray for them?" "No, we're praying for you." If you've ever read that little book that John R. Rice puts out about these men were filled with the Spirit, you've read in there the account of Moody being in New York City, and the Holy Spirit manifested himself to him in a way which he had never done before, and he felt waves of love and compassion fill him and flood him, and he knew that the Holy Spirit of God was doing something that he had never done before in his life. And he said, "I got up and I preached the same messages that I always preach, but there was a vast difference now, because the power of God was there, and people got under conviction, and people flooded forward, and people got saved, and people got right, and revival broke out." Why? Because a man got the power of God in his life. What did Jesus tell these people? He said, "You're going to need power. You're going to need power." I'd like to talk about six or seven areas in our life and look at these areas from the book of Acts. Areas in which we need the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're not filled with the Holy Ghost, we're not going to have power in these areas. Now, the charismatics, they can talk about the Holy Spirit all they want. They can talk about the Holy Spirit and talk about the gift of tongues and talk about talking in tongues. And they can go to their service and yabber-jabber-dibber-do in tongues all they want to. But let me tell you something. They don't understand about the power of God in these areas that I'm going to talk to you about tonight. And these are just basic things. But these are things that God wants for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter whether you're man, whether you're woman, whether you feel called to a special ministry, or whether you're just a born-again Christian that wants to live his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're saved tonight, that's something that you ought to want. You ought to want to live for the Lord. There should have been a time in your life since you've been saved that you surrendered to God, that you surrendered your life, your will, your all to him. And you said, "God, here I am. I don't know what you want to do with me, but if you can take and use me in any way, here I am, Lord, take and use me." There should have been a time like that in your life. If there hasn't been, maybe tonight will be the night where you make that decision, where you make that surrender, where you submit your will to the will of God, where you say, "God, I am willing. I might not understand all about it. I might not be able to see it very plainly, but I am willing to be everything you want me to be and anything you want me to be. And here am I, Lord. Tonight, there's a few areas that I want to talk to you about, in which every single one of us, man, woman, young person, needs to have the power of the Holy Spirit. First of all, he says in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the earth." If you're going to be a witness, it's going to take more than a course on how to win souls and lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be a witness, you're going to have the power of God in your life. And Jesus said, "I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to stay there until you get power, till you receive the power of the Holy Ghost." What was this Holy Ghost baptism that Jesus was talking about? You see, Jesus had already talked to the disciples. He had already told them about the Holy Spirit. He had already said in John 14, 15, 16, when you read those passages, you read about Jesus telling them that the Comforter would come. He would not leave them comfortless. And when He came, the Spirit of truth would guide them and lead them into all truth, and that He would testify of Jesus Christ. These people knew about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Did they have the Holy Spirit? Yes, they had the Holy Spirit, but they had the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament sense until Acts chapter 2. And the Old Testament sense, the Holy Spirit would come into someone, but the Holy Spirit could also depart from someone. In the Old Testament, you read in Psalm chapter 51, after David sinned, he prayed to God and said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." You know what David was concerned about? David, after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, was concerned about the fact that God would take the Holy Spirit away from him. And in the Old Testament, that could happen. In the Old Testament, Samson was a man who had strength when the Holy Spirit came upon him, and then the Spirit would depart. Saul was a man who prophesied, and Saul was a man who at one time was filled with the Spirit of God, but the day came when the Spirit of God departed him, and he was filled, an unclean spirit was sent from God to Saul. In the Old Testament, yes, the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and the Holy Spirit would come into them, but the Holy Spirit could also depart from them. And Jesus said, "I'm going to send you a Comforter. And when He comes, He's going to be with you, and He's going to be in you, and He's going to be there forever." Brother, I'm thankful tonight that when I got saved, the Holy Spirit came inside me. I'm thankful that when I got saved, the Holy Spirit sealed me until the day of redemption. I'm thankful that right now I have the Holy Spirit that is able to lead and guide and correct me and convict me. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is inside my body right now. But brother, let me tell you something. You need to come to the place, I need to come to the place where we operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only way we can do that is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples had received the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." But He also told them in Acts chapter 1, "I want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of me." He said, "John baptized with water, but you're going to get baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." John put you into the water. John baptized you with water. John immersed people in water. But you're going to be immersed by the Holy Spirit. And brother, when the Holy Spirit immersed them, He placed them into the body of Christ. The Bible says, "For by one Spirit were ye all baptized into one body." And then Jesus said this, that this power would enable them to carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus wanted the whole world to be saved. Jesus still wants the whole world to be saved. God wants the whole world to be saved. It's not the will of the Lord that any to hear about Jesus and believe and be saved. The only way that is going to come to pass is if we, under the power of the Holy Spirit, will go out and tell this world about Jesus. He still wants us to be filled with the Spirit and have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be a witness for Him. Man went to a meeting one time. It was a meeting at a school. He had a great meeting. He preached to a bunch of young kids, and they trusted Jesus Christ. Many of them trusted the Lord. And he was coming home, on his way home, rejoicing, thinking about the time that he had had there at that school and how many of those young people gave their heart to the Lord. And he was thankful that he was able to see the power of the Holy Spirit working on those young people. And as he was driving along deep in thought, he missed his turn. He went 20 miles out of his way. He came to a town. Nothing was open in that town except one restaurant. He got out of his car to find out exactly where he was and realized that there was a reason why God had brought him to that place. He didn't know exactly what, but he thought it must be to be a witness to someone in this restaurant. He went into the restaurant, and there was no one there except for three women that were waitresses in that restaurant. And he said, "Look, I'm a preacher. I've just been down the road preaching at a school. And I don't know why the Lord allowed me to take this wrong turn, but it must be that one of you needs to be saved." And he talked to those women about salvation, and all three of them ended up getting saved. You know what that was? That was just the power of the Holy Spirit allowing him to be a witness for Jesus Christ. What about you? Are we witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh yes, I know we go out and knock on doors. I know we go out and we try to find somebody to witness to, but are we filled with the Holy Spirit, and do we operate under the power of the Holy Ghost when God opens the door for us? So many times, I am so unready to be a witness. I mean, the Lord will just open the door and there it'll be, and somebody will bring up the something about the Lord, and I am not on the ball. And sometimes I miss some opportunities. I let some opportunities go by. Why? Because I just don't stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to give you power to be a witness for Jesus Christ. To be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. And the Lord told them, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Witnesses. The next thing, the next area that I see in the book of Acts, as these men get filled with the Holy Spirit and get the power of the Holy Spirit upon their life, is they receive the power to speak boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." What happened? They were praying. And as they prayed, the Bible says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, the filling of the Holy Spirit is something that God wants for every single one of us. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we're not filled with the Holy Spirit because we're filled with a lot of other things. Sometimes we're filled with concern, we're filled with worry, we're filled with pride, we're filled with self-righteousness, we're filled with ourself. We stick self up there on the throne, and brother, we bow down to the altar of self, and we make sure self is taken care of, and we all of our thoughts and our concern is about us. Big number one, big me, big I, ourselves. And when we're filled with self, we will not be filled with the Holy Spirit. I told you about these old-time preachers that didn't have the cars and didn't have the things that we have today. What did they have? They had time. But their time was not spent idly. Their time was spent making contact with God and getting filled with the Holy Spirit. we leak. We get filled, and then things take place and things happen, and we do not stay filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, when these people prayed, the Bible says the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did they do? They started speaking the Word with boldness. They went out and they started speaking the Word of God with boldness. Not just preachers. Do you think that God just wants me and Brother Rick and Art and some of you other guys that are called to preach? Do you think that He just wants those? God wants you women to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to speak the Word of God with boldness. There's nothing wrong with a woman being a bold representative for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with a woman knowing the Word of God and being able to show someone else how to be saved and being a bold witness for the Lord and being able to speak out boldly for the Lord. Take your Bible and look in Acts 8. Acts 8. The Holy Spirit's doing all this work. These men are just making themselves instruments of God. In Acts chapter 8, it says this in verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. What was he doing? He was hailing men and women, committed them to prison. And it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. These people, as persecution came upon the church, these people were pushed out, pushed away from Jerusalem, and wherever they went preaching the word of God and declaring God's word, and they did it with boldness. And I believe that God wants the same thing in this age. Just because we've come down the road a few hundred years, just because we have advanced in some technology, does not mean that God still doesn't want us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and being a bold witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we aren't speaking the Word of God with boldness, it's because we're just not filled with the Holy Ghost. These people were affecting Jerusalem. These people were making a difference in the city that they were at. Look in Acts 5. In Acts chapter 5, it says in verse 28. Let me go back and read a little bit farther up. It says in verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us. You see what these people did when they were filled with the Holy Spirit? They went out and boldly proclaimed their doctrine, and they were filling up the city of Jerusalem with that doctrine. Would to God that we'd fill up Canton with our doctrine. Would to God that we'd fill up Akron with our doctrine. Would to God that we'd that we would be so filled with the Holy Ghost that we would go out from this building speaking the Word of God with boldness and fill up the surrounding area with the doctrine that we believe. That's what they did. The early church. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They received power that came from being filled with the Holy Ghost. Would to God that that would happen to us. The third thing that I see about these people that had the power of the Holy Spirit is that they had the power of the Holy Spirit to preach with boldness. Not just to be a witness, not just to speak boldly in the name of the Lord and speak the Word of God with boldness, but they had the power to preach with boldness. That early church must have been something. It must have been something to hear Peter preach. It must have been something to hear Stephen's message. As he stood before the heads of the nation of Israel And he declared to them their history, how that God had brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage, and brought them into the land, and how that in that land they departed from God and went to false gods, and how God continually came to them and warned them. Stephen got to the end of his message. He said, "You know something? You're just like your fathers were. You're stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." And man, that man, filled with the Holy Spirit, spake boldly. He didn't compromise. He didn't back off. He didn't let their angry looks and their angry faces upset him. He just kept on plowing the Word of God into their heart, and they finally shut him up with stones. But not before he looked into heaven and said, "I see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father." You know what he did? He was a man that the Bible says in Acts chapter 6 was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he preached the Word of God with boldness. When you look in Acts chapter 8, you see another man. His name was Philip, and he goes down. I mean, these were deacons. These were what we would call deacons. They weren't sneaking deacons. They were preaching deacons. And brother, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were able to preach with boldness. Philip goes down to Samaria, and he starts preaching the Word of God, and devils start coming out of people, and the city starts getting filled up with joy. Why? Because he was a man that went down there and preached the Word of God with boldness. You know, we need that kind of power today in the pulpit. I wish that I was a preacher that could preach with the boldness that these old timers had. I pray for that. I pray to that end. I get down on my face and I ask God to fill me with His Holy Spirit so that I can get up and preach boldly the Word of God. As far as I know in my heart, I will not compromise the Word of God. I will not water it down to suit you. I will not do it so that I can get a nice love offering. If you don't send me down the road with anything, I will know that when I go home, I've done what God sent me here to do, and that was to declare the Word of God to you as best I could, as boldly as I could, and I hope that you have received the Word. But you know, I feel very insufficient when I look at these other men, these other preachers, and how they preach the Word of God. There's a desire in my heart to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a desire that when I stand in the pulpit and preach, that the Lord would do something miraculous in the hearts of the people that listen. But I can honestly say to you tonight that I don't have the power that these other men have had in the past. When I read about Jonathan Edwards and how he took a manuscript and held it so close to his face that the people could not see his face, and read his messages off those manuscripts, and people begged him to quit, and he just kept on reading, and they trembled under conviction, and they would drop on their knees, they would crawl to the altar, they would cry out for God to save them. I don't see that happening today, but oh, I'd love to see it happen. I pray to God. I know the only way it can happen is for the Holy Spirit to do it. I know that. It's not something that I can manufacture. It's not something that I can do. All I can do is just surrender to God and say, "God, I want to be that kind of preacher. And here I am, Lord. And please remove the things from me that will keep me from being that way, and fill me with your Holy Spirit." And brother, I'll tell you what, we need some power in the pulpit and some powerful preachers today. But it will not happen until men are filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit enabled them to go out and preach with boldness. Then I want you to see something else that the power of the Holy Spirit did. It produced workers for God. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And it says in verse 1, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. They ministered, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You see what happened there? It was the Holy Ghost that called these men to go out and be missionaries and take the Word of God into other areas. It says the Holy Spirit separated them. They were called of God. I believe God still wants to do that today. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to hearts. When people come into a local assembly and sit there, we've got young people in here that are debating. As they sit here, service after service, then their hearts, they are thinking, and then their hearts, they are debating, what am I going to do with my life? Wouldn't it be great if the Holy Spirit of God in some meeting would call them and say, surrender to me and I'll use you, I'll take you, I'll let you go and be a missionary to some foreign country or to be a preacher here in this country, and let the Holy Spirit separate some young men and women out of this group to do a work for God. That's the way God operates. Power that is produced by the Holy Spirit. It's not a preacher that's saying, now, John, I think you'd make a fine preacher, and Joe, I think you would make a good teacher, and Sam, I think you'd make a good deacon, and Tim, I think you'd make a good missionary. No, it wasn't the preacher that was doing this. It was the Holy Ghost that was doing it. Because, you see, the Holy Spirit was in control. The Holy Spirit was in operation. People believed in being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was directing the message and the call to the hearts of the people that He wanted to do a work. I don't know. I know about Brother Art and I know about Brother Rich, but I don't know about other preachers. I know how God called me. I know that the last thing I wanted was to be called by God to do something. You say, why was that the last thing you wanted? Because the thought of it put fear in my heart. I was afraid. I was afraid that I could not do it. I was afraid that I would fail the Lord miserably. I was afraid that I could not get up and stand before people and be able to order a message and to declare that message. It was fear that kept me from wanting to be called. I did not want God to call me to preach. But in spite of my desire, I was willing to let God call me to do anything He wanted me to do. You know where I thought all my preaching would take place? When I surrendered to God, and when I heard God's call upon my life to preach, I said, okay, God. And you don't make deals with God, but back when you're young and you don't have any better sense, that's what you do. You make deals with God. I said, God, I'll make a deal with you. You open the door and I'll go through. You know, that's pretty simple. God, if I know you're opening the door, I'll go through the door. I don't care where it is. Jail, fine. Rescue mission, fine. Out on the street, fine. You open the door and I'll go through. And I really thought that all the doors that were going to open for me would be, you know, down at the city jail. That was fine. I mean, I identified with those guys behind bars. Yeah. I mean, I knew that I should be there myself. You know, I identified with them. And if it wasn't for the grace of God saving my soul, I probably would have wound up there. I could go to the rescue. I could identify with those drunken bums coming in there. I mean, I'd been there. I could identify with that. The thing that scared me was when I came into churches and I got around religious people. I just never have been able to identify too well with them. I'm not saying safety. I'm saying religious people. You know what I mean? There's a big difference there between being saved and being religious. And I was afraid. And as long as God was opening these doors to the rest homes and to the jails and to the missions, I was fine. But then God, years down the road, reminded me of our little deal, our little bargain. I open the door, you go through. And man, I'll tell you what, that has put me in some awful predicaments. But I say this to you tonight. By the grace of God, I went in there and did not compromise the Word of God or the message that God had put on my heart to appease those people. Now, I don't know how God works with other men, but I know this. God is still able to call. And I know that God will call men and young people to do a work for God when the Holy Spirit is able to have His way. When people see the value and realize that they have to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. A young student at a seminary asked F.B. Meyers one time how a person could know the will of God for his life, or how could a person know God's particular will for a certain thing in their life. And it was said that F.B. Meyers never hesitated and gave this answer. There's three tests that you can give it to see if it's God's will for you. Number one, is it in harmony with the teaching of the Scripture? In other words, is there some passage of Scripture that would violate or contradict what you feel God would want you to do? Is it in harmony with the teaching of the Scripture? Number two, is there an inner prompting of your heart? Make sure it's just not a selfish desire, but it's a prompting of your heart, the Holy Spirit prompting your heart to do that work. And then, number three, is there an open door? Has God opened a door? So is Art, and so have probably many of you that wanted to preach. They had a desire. It wasn't a call. It wasn't an inner prompting. It wasn't something that they could say, I know God did it because He showed me it from His Word. It wasn't that. It was just that they desired. You know, there's some people that really, they desire to be up here in the spotlight. I never do. I sit back there and I get up. But brother, I'll tell you what. The only way I would ever get up is to know for me not to get up would be to go against what God wanted me to do. So I get up. I can understand what Paul said when he went to the Corinthians and he preached to them, and he said that he preached to them in fear and in trembling, and I understand that. But there's some people, they like to be up here. They have a desire to be in front of people. They have the desire to have the spotlight focused on them. But that's all it is. It is their desire. It might not be the calling of God. It might not be the inner prompting of the heart. And it might not be that God opens the door. Is there an open door? That's what the young man was told. I still believe that God calls men. God calls women to do a work for Him. Some of you ladies, do you look at raising your children as a calling from God? Why did you have those children? As a saved woman, why did you have those children? Did you have those children because you wanted to take a child and be a godly mother to that child and set a godly example before that child and teach that child the way of the Lord so that that child can come up knowing about God and maybe God in turn calling that child to do something for Him? That's the way it's supposed to be. You mothers in here should feel like that the calling of God is as much upon you to raise those children for Jesus Christ as the calling is upon me to go through the open doors and preach the gospel. And if it's not that way, boy, I'll tell you what, your life is going to become awful mundane. I mean, diapers and washes and food and meals and cleaning the house. God calls women to have children and to bring them up and raise them for His honor and glory. The Holy Spirit is able to speak to your heart. You know, before I married my wife, Sherry, you know why she was at PBI? She was at PBI because she felt like God had called her to be the wife of a preacher. she felt that was her calling in life, to be the wife of a preacher, and she wanted to make sure she was the wife of a Bible-believing preacher. She got the cream of the crop. Now she got the bottom of the barrel. But you know, if it wasn't for that calling upon her life, I mean, you see that woman there on her knees in the morning at that couch, praying for me, praying for the children, reading her Bible, keeping a relationship with God, because she feels like there's a calling upon her life. It wasn't me that called her. Somewhere as a teenage girl, the Holy Spirit got a hold of her heart in a meeting somewhere and said, I want you to marry a preacher and be a good wife to that preacher, a good wife to him, and have some children, raise them for my honor and glory. You know, the Holy Spirit's still able to do that if we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and if we will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and if we will let the Holy Spirit do His work when we come into this place. Then there's something else that the being filled with the Holy Spirit will do. It'll produce power to have joy in your life. Look again in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13. And they're preaching, and yes, there's all kinds of stuff happening. It says in verse 40, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did that do? It produced some joy in their life. You know, it's easy to have joy when you've got victory. It's easy. But what about having joy when you have a trial? When everything's going good and God is just bombing you with blessings day after day, yeah, it's easy to skip and jump and shout glory and say, hallelujah, Lord, it sure is good. But what about the times God turns off that blessing spigot? And He says, now we're gonna test your faith a little bit. You're out there rejoicing and that's good, and you're out there shouting, but I've been blessing you, see? But now I'm just going to hold back on these blessings a little bit, and now I'm going to see what you're really made of. You know, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to have joy in the affliction. I read in Acts chapter 16, Paul gets put into jail. And the Bible says that in jail, Paul and Silas in jail, you know what they begin to do? They begin to pray, and they begin to sing praises unto God, and the earth shakes, and the bars of the jail fly open, and the jailer comes in and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know what they had? They had joy in the midst of their affliction. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul came to the place in his life where he said this. He said, the thing that I'm going to rejoice in, the thing that I'm going to glory in, the thing that is going to be a joy to me is when the trials come and the afflictions come and the testings come. Take your Bible and look in 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says in verse 9, I'll go back just a little bit. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said, there's where the joy is. The persecutions, the afflictions, the reproaches, the necessities. Why? Because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't say that if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. See, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it produces power for you to have joy. Joy in your daily routine. Some of you going to work tomorrow. Some of you have a routine. You get up at 6, you eat your breakfast, you hit the door, you're at the job, 7:30, and you know that there's a certain task set before you. You know, for you to do that day after day after day after day and not be filled with the Holy Spirit means that life is going to become a drudgery and a drag, and that routine is going to be a boring, monotonous, boring thing that after 10 years will drive you crazy. But you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you go in there and you do that job to the glory of God, and you say, God, I'm going to be out here on the job today, and I just want my light to shine, and I want you to fill me to the place where other people can see Jesus Christ in me. And brother, I'll tell you what, you'll see a difference in the routine, the daily routine. There ought to be joy in our relationship with God. When you go to God, you have to go to him and say, Lord, here I am again, man. You know, I'm just give me, Lord. Give me. I need it. Help me. Give me. Is that what our prayer life gets reduced to sometimes? We ought to be going to God and saying, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the joy that is in my heart because I know you've placed it there. There is no joy out there in this sinful world. I mean, the laughter of this world and the foolishness of the sinner of this world is like crackling of the thorns under a pot. And it only lasts for a brief time. And then the misery sets in upon that individual. But brother, I'll tell you what, when Jesus Christ saves you and the Holy Spirit comes inside, he puts a fountain that is able to produce joy in your life. And if you get filled and stay filled with the Holy Spirit, there is going to be power there to produce joy for every situation that you encounter in this life. Joy in the service for God. I haven't been serving the Lord that long, but it's been better than 25 years now. You know, I'm thankful that I decided to answer the call. I'm thankful that, number one, God sent out the call. I'm thankful that I answered the call. And brother, there's been some hard times and there's been some tough times, but God has enabled me to have joy in what I'm doing. It's a joy to sit down with somebody that's lost and show them how to be saved. It's a joy to be able to stand with the Word of God and know that you're telling somebody what God says in his book. It's a joy to see people grow in the Lord. It's a joy to see people get things straightened out and changed around in their life. And brother, I'll tell you what, I'm thankful that there is joy in serving God. Is there joy in your service for the Lord? There will be. You ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit, there will be power there. Another thing is power with God in prayer. You see, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be able to pray. And Jude says that we need to pray in the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled and then pray in the Holy Ghost. Why is it today that we have to read books about prayer warriors? Why don't we know prayer warriors? When we have a particular problem, why can't we gather two or three of the prayer warriors together and say, let's go into a room someplace and get in touch with God and ask God to do something? And know that when you come out of that room, God has received that at the throne and the answer's on the way. Why do we have to read about pray and hide? Why don't we have pray and hide? Why do we have to read about Payson and these men like McShane and these other men that were such great prayer men and great men in the closet of prayer? I'll tell you why. Because they were willing to spend an hour and 2 hours and 3 hours with God. And we're not. We're not. I went to a prayer conference last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. I took my assistant with me and Brother Dale Scott. I said, Dale, let me tell you something. I said, this isn't going to be like a camp meeting, man. I said, this is a prayer conference. There's not going to be anybody running the aisle. There's probably not going to be many amens and much shouting. No, probably no shouting going on. But I said, I'll tell you one thing. If a guy gets up there and preach and he rings that bell in your heart, and then the old spiritual bell starts going bong, 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 I said, you can mark it down. That man has been with God. And we went up there and we heard three fellows preach and they all preached on prayer. Didn't seem like anything too awful much was happening there. I'm thankful. And I appreciate anytime someone will challenge me to pray, I'm thankful for that. I mean, every now and then I need a good swift kick. I have gotten under conviction singing Sweet Hour of Prayer. I have. And that's a convicting thing. Stand there with that book and sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. And you know, that night we went back and we heard a fellow. He said that God had called him to a church in Madison, Wisconsin. He said there was a church in California that wanted him, and he really wanted to go there. There was a church in Denver, Colorado that wanted him, and he was kind of tempted to go there. And there was a couple other churches that had wanted him to come, but there was a small group of people in Madison, Wisconsin that were meeting in an old barbershop building. They didn't even have a church. And he said, that's where God wanted me to go. He said, there are more homosexuals in Madison, Wisconsin per capita than any other city in the United States. And brother, that has to be something to beat San Francisco. You know that? That's what he said. But he said he's seen lesbians come to know the Lord. And he's seen the gay men come to know the Lord. And he said, while it's hard to get them, after they do get saved, to get them into the church, he said he'll still be going down the street and they'll wave and, hey, brother, how you doing? I didn't know. He related some different incidences in prayer, and I didn't know too much about that, but I know this, that God spoke to my heart. And that little message that he preached on prayer that night put a burning desire in me to go away from that thing and spend more time with God in prayer. And I called a preacher that knew him. A couple days later, we were talking about the meeting, and he said, you know, that man goes over to his church and spends 2 hours praying every day. Why didn't that surprise me? Brother, I'll tell you why. We need power with God in prayer. How are we going to be filled with the Holy Spirit in this wicked generation in which we live if we don't spend any time with God in prayer? You say, I'm too busy. Too busy. Then you need to let something go. We need power with God in prayer. And then last of all, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and these men in the book of Acts, as you read through the book of Acts, you see the Holy Ghost doing it, the Holy Spirit's doing it, the Holy Spirit's doing His work. It gives you the power to live a separated life. If we're going to be used of God, we need to be holy in our lives. If we preach with our lips and live another way in our daily lives, people will pay us no mind. If we preach, be ye reconciled to God, then they expect to see someone who is reconciled to God. If we preach that you need to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, then they need to see a new creature in Christ Jesus. If we preach that Jesus makes a difference and He can answer your prayer, then they need to see that Jesus has made a difference in our life and that Jesus is the one that we trust in. And when we have a problem, regardless of what kind it is, we go to Him with that thing in prayer, and people need to see that we know how to get in touch with God. And if we want folks to come to know our Lord and our Savior, then they need to see a separated life. The Bible says, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Separation is not a matter of your hair length, your dress length, whether you have a beard or don't have a beard. That's not separation. That can become very quickly Phariseeism. Separation is where you say, I am going to step over here and be everything that God wants me to be. And when the world starts pulling me in its direction, I'm gonna turn from it, and I'm gonna trust God, and I'm gonna ask God to give me the grace and the strength not to conform to the world and think like the world and act like the world and look like the world and go the way the world goes, because I want to be separated from the world. And it starts inside, not outside. You don't separate yourself by cleaning up the outside of the platter and leaving the inside filthy. You separate yourself by cleaning the inside, and then the outside will radiate the beauty of Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can have the power to be separated in our lives is to be filled. Great lack of power today. And I'm ashamed to say that so many times I feel so void of the power of God that I have such a burning desire to have that power and to be filled. What about you tonight? Will you be filled with the Holy Spirit and have the power of God in your life? Let's stand for a word of prayer. Bow our heads for just a moment, and we're going to have a word of prayer. And I don't know what your condition in here is tonight. I know a lot of you are saved tonight, and if there's anyone in here that's not saved, listen. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then the Holy Spirit will come inside you, and there will be a birth that takes place, and it's a spiritual birth. And if you're in here and you're lost tonight, you need to consider that you're running out of time, and if you die in your sin, you will go to hell, and you'll never have another chance to be saved. Is there anyone in here before I pray tonight that would be willing to raise their hand and say, Brother McDowell, I am not saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I wish that you would remember me in prayer. Would you just put up your hand and let me pray for you? Is there anyone like that in here tonight? Anyone at all? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just would like to pray for you. Anyone at all? No one has raised their hand. I cannot see your heart, but I will assume by that that most everyone in here knows Jesus Christ as your Savior. What about you tonight? Do you have the power of God in your life? Do you desire the power of God in your life? Will you be willing to empty yourself of the things that keep you from being filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can have God's power in your life? Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts now, that you would deal with us. God, Lord, you know my heart. God, sometimes my wicked, filthy heart keeps me from being filled with your Holy Spirit. God, I want your Holy Spirit to fill me, to empower me, to use me, God, more than anything else, Lord. In the few days that we have left here on this earth, Lord, I want to be used of you. God, I pray for these people that are here tonight. Lord, speak to their hearts. May you raise up some people that will not be satisfied with just merely being a Christian. But God, may they have a great desire to have the power of God manifested in their life. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What page will we sing? Page 17, as we sing this invitation hymn tonight. God has spoke to your heart. Maybe you need to come and do some praying. Has there been that time of surrender in your life where you surrendered your will to God's and you conformed your will to His will and said, Lord, I am willing to do what you want me to do. If not, maybe you need to surrender tonight. Have you lived this day, this week, this month without being filled with the Holy Spirit and without the power of God in your life? Are you going to be satisfied with that, or do you want to change? Tonight, there can be a change. God will fill you with His Spirit if you desire it. Will you come? Will you pray? Will you spend some time at this altar asking God to empower your life and fill you with the Holy Spirit? You do what God wants you to do.
I'm the right word.